I'm like looking around the room here, and I see my mom and my aunt and my dad and some other people. And I'm thinking, hi, welcome to my bat mitzvah. Now, I'll get taller, I promise, maybe. Not in my family, probably, if anyone saw my parents. Okay, can people hear me? Okay, great. So what I'm hoping to do today with everyone is to discuss Tosefet Yom HaKippurim, the additions at the beginning of Yom Kippur and at the end of Yom Kippur. What do I mean by additions? Well, we'll see. It might be an added prohibition from doing work, from doing any of the malachot that are asar on Yom Kippur a little bit before. It's also about maybe fasting, maybe taking those shoes that Rav Goldberg talked about off a little bit early and putting them back on a little bit late. But hopefully we'll do this in a sort of give-and-take fashion. A lot of giving, a lot of taking, a lot of giving, a lot of taking. Okay, so we're going to do what we can. So my first question is, and please don't raise your hand because it'll probably be embarrassing. My first question is, how many people here have done have blow-dried their hair during the 18 minutes? Have blow-dried their hair during the 18 minutes before Shabbos? Rabbi Hain is like, not me. Well, you don't have as much hair as the ladies down here. How many people have put something into the oven during the 18 minutes? Not me. I'm like, don't raise your hand. You don't want people to know. So we're going to discuss why that's okay and why that's not okay and where that all comes from. So my question is, does anyone here know where the concept of Tosefet adding on to, I'm going to say Yom Kippur, we're going to be very case specific, comes from? At the beginning or at the end of it? Anybody? No? Okay. No, seriously. So we're going to discuss it. Okay. I should speak into the mic. Thank you. It's happened in my bat mitzvah also, which was on Shabbos, so that doesn't make any sense. Okay, let's all look at Rashi on Shmot Perek Lamed Dalet, Pasuk Kaf Aleph, source 6. Okay, there's some sources that are just not on this sheet for reasons beyond my control, but the ideas are still there. We'll work on it. Okay, source 6 is on the Pasuk Becharish Uvekatzir Tishbot. And that pasuk generates a lot of fanfare in the Gemara. I didn't quote the Gemara, I quoted the Rashi because I want to do it shorthand. Rashi says, what is Becharish Uvekatzir Tishbot? Here the context seems to be Shabbos proper in the Torah. It means Becharish Uvekatzir Tishbot, you should refrain from doing Charisha, from plowing and doing Katsira and reaping, harvesting. So check out Rashi. Rashi says, Lama nizkar charish v'katzir? Why should plowing and harvesting be mentioned by Shabbos? Yesh mi rabotinu omrim al charish shel erev shvi'it hanechnas l'shvi'it v'katzir shel shvi'it hayotzei l'motzei shvi'it. Because charisha and katzira are not necessarily things that you would be running to do on Shabbos, like, oh, gosh, I guess I'll have to stop doing charisha and katzira, and seem to maybe be a little bit more related to Shemitah, to Shvi'it. So the Gemara takes from there, Rashi's quoting, the Gemara takes from there that Becharish uvekatzir tishbot actually refers to Shemitah. It actually refers to starting Shemitah a little bit early, starting Shvi'it, starting the prohibitions of it a little bit early, and extending them a little bit beyond Shemitah. That's what Rashi means when he says it's about charish shel erev shvi'it, right? Plowing before Shemitah, hanechnas l'shvi'it, so that those plants or produce will be ready in Shemitah. V'katzir shel shvi'it hayotzei l'motzei shvi'it. And things that were grown at least a third, that's the way that Rashi on the Gemara translates this, things that were grown at least a third during Shemitah, that you don't want to use them for your own benefit, meaning you can't sell them and things like that. They aren't private property after Shemitah is over. L'lamedcha shemosifin mechol ala kodesh. In order to teach you, b'charish uvekatzir tishbot, which ostensibly is in a Shabbos context in the Torah, but really Chazal are saying it actually refers to Shemitah. Rashi says that's where we learn the concept of mosifin mechol ala kodesh. That's where we learn the concept of adding from a little bit of chol, a little bit of a non-holiday, a little bit of a non-shemitah. We add a little bit of kodesh there, or we add that on to kodesh. So my question to you here is, That's interesting. So maybe Tosefet, and this is a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, in Moed Katan, in Sukkah, in lots of places. Maybe Tosefet, Shabbos, and Yom Tov, and Yom Kippur all come from Shemitah. Has anyone ever thought of that possibly before? Probably not. And look at what Tosefet Shemitah entails. Look at number 4. It's the beginning of Masechet Shvi'it. Right, Shvi'it is just another name for Shemitah. Right, 7th year in those cycles. Ad ematai chorshin besdeh ha'ilan erev Shvi'it. So until when are you supposed to plow in a field of trees the year before Shemitah starts? Beit Shammai omrim kol zman shehu yafeh lepri, ubeit Hillel omrim ad ha'atzeret, ukrovin divrei elu liot kedivrei elu. So there's a machloket Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, how early you really have to stop before Shemitah starts, how early you have to stop plowing. What's missing from this source, I think that was an oversight, what's missing from this source is that actually 30 days is the halacha l'Moshe Misinai about Shemitah. You stop your plowing 30 days before Shemitah starts. And that, according to the Rambam, is actually halacha l'Moshe Misinai. And according to others, it's learned from this Becharishu v'Katzir Tishbot. So my question is, what can we learn from the idea that Tosefet is taught from Shemitah? You know, you're looking at me saying, Shemitah, Yom Tov, Shabbos, Yom Kippur, there seems to be, you know, one of these things does not belong. It's a little bit weird to have the one that doesn't belong be the one that teaches you everything, right? So what would people say might be a reason why you would stop plowing early before Shemitah starts? If you can't plow during Shemitah, why extend it backwards? Anyone? Anyone? Alana and Atel? Loudly, though. Do you want the mic? Okay. Excellent. Alana says, well, we start early because you don't really want to benefit during Shemitah from some plowing that you did before Shemitah. I mean, how shady is it to say, well, I'm not allowed to plow during Shemitah, so I'll plow right before Shemitah and all those things will grow during Shemitah and I'll be able to have them for myself, right? So check out, that actually is the answer of the Rambam. That's the way the Rambam looks at it. Source 7. It says, Avodat ha'aretz b'shana shishit, shloshim yom samach l'shvi'it asura. Right? Working the land in the 6th year, 30 days before Shemitah starts, is prohibited. Halacha l'moshe misinai. Mipnei shehu mitakna l'shvi'it. Because what you're doing, essentially, is you're making a tikkun. You are improving things so that they will grow better in Shemitah. So, essentially, it's a technical reason. Right? Meaning, Joyce Ben David, the reason why you would stop doing Avodat Ha'aretz before Shemitah started is not for any really symbolic reason, but really for a very practical reason. We're not trying to have loopholes. We're not trying to get around Shemitah. So we're going to start a little bit early so that we don't even feel any effects of before Shemitah in Shemitah. How would that translate into Yom Kippur? If I told you, you had to stop doing malacha or you had to start fasting early, Erev Yom Kippur, think in your minds, we'll get there, how that would impact your view of this Tosefet, knowing that you learn it from Shemitah. Okay? There's another approach put forth by Tosfot, and that is source 8. Just the underlined part. He says, Ditzarech Tosefet, klomar shehashvi'it matchelet mishana hashishit. Tosfot says, no. This isn't just a technical. This isn't just a nice way of making sure that you don't get around the Shemitah rules. But actually, there's a little bit of Shemitah, Mrs. Schechter. There's a little bit of Shemitah before Shemitah starts. Erev Shvi'it is actually a little bit of a din of Shvi'it. How would that impact your understanding of Yom Kippur and Yom Tov and Shabbos, right? So we have here two models, and I'm hoping that someone will give me practical ramifications between the two models. Can people hear me if I do that? No. Okay. We have two models. It's a little, take it out. You're amazing. Thank you. Okay. So now I feel like I'm in a comedy club. Okay. So we have two models here, right? We have two models of Tosefet. Both learn from Shemitah. One model says you stop doing work Erev Shemitah. a little bit early. Why? For a very technical, practical reason. We're not trying to get around Shemitah. We don't really want to feel any of the effects of regular, private, capitalistic economic life or agricultural life during the Shemitah year. The other side says, oh, no, no, no. It's really that Shemitah starts a little bit early. It's not for a technical. We don't really care if you feel some of the after effects of Erev Shemitah, but somehow we're letting Shemitah bleed into the year before and bleed into the year after. It's somewhat symbolic, certainly very serious, because the way that Tosfot put it is that Shemitah actually starts early. It's somewhat symbolic. What would be the distinction between these two things? If I said to you, Erev Yom Kippur, we stop fasting a little bit early, what would be the practical reason to stop fasting a little bit early? Is there a practical reason? It's hard to think of a practical reason, meaning you stop fasting 2 minutes early, you stop fasting half an hour early, you start fasting a day early, right? I think that the number one distinction would be time, right? Amy, it would be time. If you think about the function of Tosefet Yom Kippur, right, Evie? You think about the function of Tosefet Yom Kippur. If I said to you, Tosefet Yom Kippur should be a half an hour long, you should really stop a half an hour before Yom Kippur starts. You should start putting on those, you know, fake-o shoes, and you should make sure that you're not eating, you're not drinking. That should be a half an hour before Yom Kippur started. Then you might take the practical perspective, wouldn't you? You would say, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You're trying to make your inui, you're trying to make your suffering on Yom Kippur a little bit greater. So you make sure you fast a little bit extra before the day starts, and you make sure you fast a little bit extra after, but the little bit is going to be a substantial amount of time so that you'll feel it on Yom Kippur, right? The other option is to say, no, no, no. Just like Tosfot said that Shemitah starts early, and it's symbolic, not for any practical reason, so too, Yom Kippur, fasting starts early, not doing melacha starts early. Why? Because we're letting Yom Kippur bleed into the day before. It isn't really so that we'll feel it a little bit more on the day, but it's somehow we're extending Yom Kippur beyond its borders. When I spoke to Professor Moshe Halbertal about this, he's a Rambam guy. I spoke to him about this on Friday, and he said, well, maybe just because time is a convention, and so you want to show that time should be elastic also, so you allow Yom Kippur to bleed in and out of its given time frame. I thought that was an interesting way to go, but suffice it to say, we're going to go through that conceptual model later. But does everyone see how those two approaches would come out of learning this from Shemitah? People see that. Okay, you had a question. Okay, so if you look, excellent point. If you look in the Beit Yosef, who's Rav Yosef Karo, who wrote a perush on the Tur Shulchan Aruch, before he wrote the Shulchan Aruch, he mentions that approach. He says, oh, Tosefet Yom Kippur isn't anything really ekroni, anything really qualitative, anything really essential. It's just to make sure that you don't end up doing malacha on Yom Kippur, or that you don't end up eating on Yom Kippur, because that's an Isser Karet, and that would be really bad, right? That's certainly an approach that isn't the approach that most take in discussing Tosefet. But I'm glad you brought it up, and I was going to get to it later. Okay, so those two things are ole from Shemitah. Either the practical, which would imply that maybe Tosefet Yom Kippur should be a little bit longer, or the symbolic, which would imply that even a short Tosefet is good enough, because somehow Yom Kippur is bleeding out of its borders. I want to look at the psukim with you and see what people think from the psukim before we go on to the other model of how we might learn Tosefet. Okay, check out Vayikra Perek Kaf Gimel. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe l'emor. Ach ba'asor l'chodesh ha-shvi'i hazeh, yom ha-kippurim hu, mikra kodesh yiyeh lachem. So on the 10th day, right, of the 7th month, that is 10th of Tishrei, is Yom Kippur. It's a mikra kodesh, it's some holiday. V'initem et nafshoteichem, you should make sure to make yourselves suffer. V'ikravtem ishe l'Hashem, and make sure you give a korban. V'chol melacha lo ta'asu, and don't do any work, don't do any of the obviously prohibited, productive and not always productive activities. Be'etzem hayom hazeh, on this day, on the body of this day. Ki Yom Kippurim hu lechaper alechem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. Because it's Yom Kippur that you'll get kapara. Nothing about Tosefet so far. Ki chol hanefesh asher lo tu'uneh be'etzem ayom hazeh. Any person who does not do inui, who does not fast, right? And by extension, well, who does not fast on this day, and notice again, be'etzem hayom hazeh, on the body of the day itself, v'nechrata me'ameha, they're going to get curry. Bad news. V'chol ha'nefesh asher ta'aseh kol melacha be'etzem hayom hazeh, and anyone who decides to violate Yom Kippur through doing melacha on the body of this day, can we be any more explicit that we're only talking about Yom Kippur itself and not Tosefet? V'avadati et ha'nefesh ha'hu mikerev ama. And I'm going to make sure that that person perishes from within its people. Also another way of saying curry. Kol melacha lo ta'asu chukat olam ledorotechem v'chol moshvatechem. Right? Don't do any melacha. This is the chok forever. Anywhere you live. Who would be happy if the section ended right there? I think that's no one else. Oh, everyone's like Tanakh buffs. Everyone knows. I would be happy if the section ended right there. It's pretty comprehensive thus far. Be'etzem hayom hazeh, don't do work. Be'etzem hayom hazeh, don't eat, don't drink. Right? It's covered. We're covered. We know what Yom Kippur is. It's on the 10th of the 7th month. Okay, until Lamed Bet. What does Lamed Bet say? Shabbat Shabbaton hu lachem, v'initem et nafshotechem. It's a Shabbat Shabbaton, and you should make sure to do inui, make sure to afflict yourselves in some way. We say eating and drinking. B'tish'a lachodesh ba'erev. On the 9th, in the evening. Oops, it's the 10th. Well, how did we get the 9th? It was the 10th and it was be'etzem ayom hazeh. It was the be'etzem of the 10th. Where did we get the 9th, right? And not only that, me'erev ad erev tishbitu shabbatchem. But from one evening to the next, and Chazal say to the next means a little bit of added time after Yom Kippur ends, tishbitu shabbatchem. You should celebrate this refraining from work, eating, everything, right? That's a little bit difficult. Right now, you're going to say to me, Tosefet Yom Kippur is really a function of making sure that I don't do malacha on Yom Kippur. Doesn't really look that way from here, right? I'm going to tell you, Tosefet Yom Kippur is learned from Shemitah. Shemitah has either this practical ramification or practical orientation, I should say, or it maybe has a symbolic orientation, but it's learned from Shemitah. I'm going to tell you, when you look at the psukim, that isn't what it looks like, right? It kind of looks like the 9th was mentioned for a reason, and Me Erev Ad Erev was probably mentioned for a reason, right? So we're going to see the next approach. And I think that this approach really zeroes in on the conceptual side of the Shemitah discussion. It really zeroes in on trying to figure out what it is about Yom Kippur specifically, maybe Yom Tov and Shabbos as well, but certainly Yom Kippur specifically, what it is about that day that requires that you let it bleed outwards a little bit. So let's go to the Gemara in Yuma. Where is it? Source 3. Okay. If this were a smaller room and everyone had a microphone, I would ask someone to read. But it isn't. Chaval. Next year. Okay. V'nitim v'nashotechem b'tisha lachodesh. Okay. You should afflict yourselves on the 9th of the month. Yachol yatchil v'yitaneh b'tisha. You might think that you should actually start your ta'anit, whatever that refers to, let's say food and drink, on the 9th, Talmud Lomar, ba'erev. That's why the Torah says, but no, it's the 9th, but at night. So don't start it before Yom Kippur. But we say, wait a minute, but I ba'erev, yachol mishetachshach. Okay, so if it had just said, fast me erev at erev, or fast ba'erev, so I would say, after it gets dark out, great. Talmud Lomar b'tisha. But no, but the Torah says the 9th. Ha ketzad. How is this supposed to work? How do you reconcile these two things? Is it at night of the 10th or is it on the 9th? Which is it? Right? Matril umitaneh mi ba'od yom. You start fasting before sundown. You start fasting early. Mikan Shemosifin mechol ala kodesh. This, not Shemitah, this is where we learn that you have to add a little bit of that whole day and turn it into Kodesh. Ve'en li ela b'knisato. I only know that about the beginning of Yom Kippur. B'yitziyato minayin. How do I know that after Yom Kippur is over, I should still fast a little bit longer? Talmud lomar me'erev ad erev. Because the next clause in the pasuk is from one evening to the next evening. And then we continue. Ve'en li ela Yom HaKippurim. And I only know that Tosefet applies to Yom Kippur. Yamim tovim minayin. Talmud lomar tishbitu. Ein li ela yamim tovim shabbatot minayin. Talmud lomar shabbatchem. There are different girsaot as to how that's read. But basically the end of the pasuk, what do we have now? The way that the Gemara reads it. Shabbat shabbaton ulachem. This day should be a Shabbat shabbaton. Okay. Ve'initem et nafshotechem. Afflict yourselves. B'tisha lachodesh. A little bit before Yom Kippur starts. Me'erev ad erev. And then a little bit after Yom Kippur is over. Tishbitu. This also applies to Yom Tov or Shabbos, depending on your girsa. Shabbatchem. This also applies to Yom Tov or Shabbos or Yom Tov, depending on your girsa. That's a pretty packed pasuk, right? And that certainly would indicate that we aren't necessarily talking about just making sure that we don't do malacha or just making sure that we don't eat. Here we're really just talking about eating right now. And we certainly aren't talking about learning things from Shemitah. So we're not really talking about the possibility of the Rambam approach of being practical about things, trying to start a little bit early because it adds to your inui on Yom Kippur itself. You're feeling it in your gut. Okay? So what we're left with here, I think, from this Gemara is that Yom Kippur is the source of Tosefet. And now we can get to work. All that other stuff was intro, and now we can really get to work. Because if Yom Kippur is the source of Tosefet, what are we talking about? Is the pasuk talking about eating, or is the pasuk talking about doing malacha? Any ideas? Everyone's right, so you should just say. What do you think, malacha or eating? You think it's talking about both? Is there anyone who thinks it's talking about one versus the other? One or the other? Yeah, what are you thinking? V'initim anafshotechem. She's saying it's talking about food. It isn't talking about malacha. It's talking about food. So there's work to be done. If it's talking about food, why am I then comparing it to Shabbos and Yom Tov in the Gemara? In the Gemara, you're right, from the Psukim, I love what you're saying, and the Rambam loved what you're saying. So you're in very good company, and so am I. So we're happy. So let's try to figure out exactly what we can do with this concept of Tosefet Yom Kippur before we spread it out to Yom Tov and Shabbos. Any ideas as to what Tosefet would mean? Why you would want to do something a little bit early versus why you'd want to do it a little bit late? I'm going to give you two options. Either it might be a way of saying, like Tosfot had said about Shemitah, it might be a way of saying that actually Yom Kippur itself starts a little bit early and ends a little bit late. This is actually for the purpose of Yom Kippur. We're saying something about Yom Kippur by saying it starts early and it ends late. And the other option is that no. This certainly is taken from Yom Kippur, but it's somehow a way of enhancing the day before Yom Kippur and the night after Yom Kippur. It isn't really a din of Yom Kippur. Let me explain to you what I mean. I have three practical ramifications that might result. Let's start with whether the pasuk is talking about both or whether the pasuk is talking about eating, okay? If the pasuk is talking about just eating, do we think that we're really saying that Erev Yom Kippur is actually a piece of Yom Kippur? If the pasuk is only talking about eating, you can drive to shul, just make sure you're not eating and make sure maybe you're not wearing your leather shoes. Do we think that's saying that Yom Kippur itself actually has now bled outside of its borders? What do people think? You won't be wrong. You're all sensible. You won't be wrong. Yes. Oh, that's interesting. You're saying that the hana'at me'ayim, the fact that you still feel it, that's very interesting. I didn't see that. I didn't really see that. That would go very nicely with the practical approach to Shemitah. You don't have to stop a half an hour before so that you feel it a little bit more. You even have to stop 2 minutes before so that you're not, you know, chewing your cud down there on Yom Kippur. I love that point. That's really excellent. Thank you. It's very possible that it isn't Yom Kippur, but it's still practical for the purpose of Yom Kippur. It's also very possible that it's just a way of saying that for some reason, there's also some minute Isser Achila on Erev Yom Kippur. We'll figure that out later. It's possible, right? That's really the Rambam's approach. Well, that is, I don't think that's the explanation of the Rambam, but that's certainly the Rambam's approach. The Rambam says, ooh, that's crazy if you don't have the Rambam. That's pretty important. Ah, here we go. No, that is crazy. The Rambam says that it only applies to Inui. The Rambam says it only applies to eating and not eating on Erev Yom Kippur. So I would deduce, and we're going to revisit the Rambam hopefully within the next 22 minutes. I would deduce that the Rambam really thinks that it isn't really that Yom Kippur is bleeding outside of its borders, but there's some added Isser Achila on Erev Yom Kippur. Le'umatzot, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, let's say, right, we have number 10, right? Shulchan Aruch, number 10 says, Ochlim u'mafsikim kodem bein hashmashot, right? Suda mafseket. You eat and you stop before bein hashmashot, before questionably Yom Kippur time. Why should tzarich losif mechola lakodesh? Right? He's only talking about right now eating. V'tosefet zeh ein lo shiur. There's no specific amount for this tosefet. Elakodem bein hashmashot. Just sometime before bein hashmashot. If you look at 12, right, people say on the Shulchan Aruch, says v'yesh omrim af lasot melacha tzarich losif mechola lakodesh. Don't think that the Shulchan Aruch, maybe the Shulchan Aruch only said eating, but it also applies to melacha. So that other side, I think, seems to indicate that somehow, for some reason, we want Yom Kippur to bleed outside of its borders for real. Certainly, there isn't going to be a chiv karet if you drive to shul, but there is maybe a lav min haTorah, right? There really is maybe malkot if you do that. Or at least makot mardut, at least rabbinic lashes, right? But it's real Yom Kippur. Another ramification. Women, ladies, who we are, except my dad and some others. Do we have to do tosefet Yom Kippur? Do we have to stop eating? Do we have to stop doing melacha early? Why wouldn't we? This is where it's nice to be a Jewish woman, right? It's always nice to be a Jewish woman. I'm just saying, this is like a nice ramification. Okay, and some people are like, you're not married yet, you don't even know. Okay, so, did I say that on a mic? Okay, seriously, somebody please tell me why a woman might not have to do tosefet Yom Kippur. And don't leave this year saying, oh, she was funny, but I didn't get any content. We need content. Someone give me an answer, come on. What? Thank you, it's a mitzvah to say shasman grama. You are an amazing woman, thank you for being here, along with everyone else. So, right, it's a mitzvah to say shasman grama. Why would I have to do tosefet? Oh, amazing. It's a mitzvah to say shasman grama. It's part of Yom Kippur. Why is that a mitzvah to say shasman grama? So there's another machloket. Check it out. If you look at 11, right, the Prima Gadim, 11, who writes commentary on commentators on the Shulchan Aruch, right? So he says, Nashim chayavim b'tosefet Yom Kippurim, right? Actually, min haTorah. Ve'af al gav mitzvah asei shazman grama be'ein onesh nashim p'turot, even though usually when you have a mitzvah asei shazman grama without any sort of punishment, right, women are p'turot, right, because the Gemara only says that women and men are equivalent when it comes to onshim, when it comes to classically lotases, but really things that deserve punishment, right? And he's holding here, obviously, that Tosefet doesn't have an onesh, because he's holding that it's a mitzvah asei, okay? Hainu mishum yom hakipurim gufa shayach benashim gamkin. Says, because Yom Kippur, I understand it's a mitzvah asei shesman grama, because it isn't actually Yom Kippur, but no. Women also have to stop eating and doing melacha a little bit early, because it's part of Yom Kippur, right? Just like we're chayavos in Yom Kippur, we're chayavos in Tosefet Yom Kippur. Granted, he's saying it's very important to notice that he's saying that it's a mitzvat aseh, right? He's looking at it as a positive as opposed to a don't eat, don't do melacha. It's a positive, okay? Because it's me'erev ad erev, right? Ve'initem, it's positive, okay? It's really ve'initem, me'erev ad erev. That's the positive. The other perspective, though, is 9. Tosfot in Rosh Hashanah says, this is a little bit tough. If you haven't seen the Gemara in Sukkah, there's a Gemara in Sukkah that talks about the word Ha'ezrach in the Torah, and the word Ha'ezrach in a particular place comes to show that even women are Chayavot in Tosefet Yom Kippur. That's what the Gemara in Sukkah says. So Tosfot really just say that at the very end. He says, V'havyalei mitzvah aseh shazman grama. It's a mitzvah aseh shazman grama. Afilu hachi, even so, marbinan lehu. We include women, b'perek ha-yashin, right? A person in the perek called the sleeper, the person who sleeps in Sukkah, right? Midichtiv ha-ezrach lerabot nashim ezrachiyot shechayavot b'inoy. The Gemara learns it from a specific limud, from a specific clause, from a specific word in the Torah. What is that showing me? Not what the Prima Gadim said, right? If the Prima Gadim says women are chayavos, Tosefet Yom Kippur, Malacha, and Inoy, Midin Yom Kippur itself, that means that Yom Kippur has started early. If Tosfot are telling me women are chayavot in Tosefet Yom Kippur, not because it's part of Yom Kippur, but because there's a pasuk that teaches us, that adds it, then, right? It's not really part of Yom Kippur. It's something that enhances day 9, and it's something that enhances Motzei day 10, but it's not Yom Kippur. And the third, this is totally outside, the third is an interesting case of a boy, let's say, who becomes bar mitzvah Motzei Yom Kippur. So as the boy becomes bar mitzvah, Motzei Yom Kippur, have to do a teeny bit of Tosefet, even though, let's say he didn't fast, let's say he wasn't good like that. He didn't fast on Yom Kippur. Does he have to fast on for 2 minutes after Yom Kippur is over? Does he have to refrain from Malacha for 2 minutes? Who thinks yes? There you go, brave soul in the back. Why do you think yes, Sarah? Huh? Ah, because it may Erev Ad Erev? Meaning, it's may Erev Ad Erev, it's a separate issue. It isn't Yom Kippur. It's a separate issue. The whole section of Yom Kippur is over already. You saw those psukim until Lamed Aleph. It was very comprehensive. It talked about Yom Kippur. It told you all you needed to know. And then you have this added of Me'erev Ad Erev. Okay, that's something separate. So of course, this poor little boy now has his 2 minute fast, poor kid. So he can eat Dunkin' Donuts all day, or at least after Chatzot, let's say he should eat his Dunkin' Donuts. And then as soon as Yom Kippur ends and he becomes a bar mitzvah, he should stop. That's the Hartzvi. I don't know the real name of the Hartzvi. That's the Hartzvi says. He's not one. Right? The other side of the coin says, oh, no, no, no. Fast. That's ridiculous. Tosefet Yom Kippur at the end. Tosefet Yom Kippur is part of Yom Kippur itself. If he wasn't chayav in Yom Kippur, there's no reason to be chayav in Tosefet Yom Kippur. Right? So I think the lines are beginning to be drawn. Okay? We have our two concepts. Either it's actually Yom Kippur bleeding in, bleeding out, or it's some added to teach you something about the ninth or something about after Yom Kippur. Okay. I want to focus on the Rambam. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to read the Rambam to you, but I hope you all look at it yourselves sometime later. The Rambam in Mishneh Torah, in Sefer Zmanim, in Hilchot Shvitat Asor, in Perek Aleph, in Halacha Vav, has the following to say. Okay. Kishem sheshvut malacha bo bein bayom uvein balayla. Just like on Yom Kippur, you have to refrain from doing malachot at night and during the day. Kach shvut li'inui bein bayom uvein balayla. So too, you have to refrain from eating and drinking and wearing shoes and this and that, both at night and during the day. And then he adds, so that's about Yom Kippur itself. Not Tosefet. That's Be'etzem. Etzem Hayom Zeh. V'tzarich lo'osif mechol al ha-kodesh b'knisato u'v'yitziyato. You have to make sure to add a little bit, Bersan. Add a little bit. You were giving me a nice look. Add a little bit at the beginning of Yom Kippur and add a little bit at the end. Why? Shenemar v'initem et nafshotechem B'tish'a l'chodesh ba'erev. Because the pasuk says, what you have in front of you, lamed bet, that you should do inoy on tish'a l'chodesh, in the evening. Klomar, hitril, latzum ulehitanot me'erev tish'a hasamoch la'asiri. Start fasting and doing inuyim, says the Rambam, meaning the other four things apply too, right? on Erev, Yom Kippur. V'chein b'yitziyah, and so too at the end of Yom Kippur. Shohe b'inoy me'at milel achadasar samoch la'asiri. You should wait in your affliction for a few minutes. He doesn't give a, you know, it's not a long time span. For a few minutes on the night of the 11th. Shene'emar me'erev ve'ad erev tishbetu shavatchem. From one Erev to the next Erev. And here the Erev is extending a little bit longer. What's interesting about the Rambam, and we're going to get to it in a second, what's interesting about the Rambam is that he doesn't bring down a din of Tosefet for Yom Tov or a din of Tosefet for Yom Kippur, for Shabbos rather. So I want to leave the Rambam for a minute. I want to talk about our two approaches in Tosefet Yom Kippur. Either Tosefet Yom Kippur is actually part of Yom Kippur itself, or Tosefet Yom Kippur is something about making the day before special and the day after special. Who prefers saying that it's Yom Kippur bleeding outwards? And do you think you could explain your position? My mom, for sure, has an opinion. Mom, what do you think? Come on. Oh, she's embarrassed me so many times. Now it's my chance. The Ben Ish Chai, I just learned yesterday, the Ben Ish Chai says you should kiss your parents' hands, moms, should kiss your parents' hands before Yom Kippur and ask them for mechila. So I'm just doing something so that I'll have a reason to ask her. I really think, yeah, go for it. Don't worry. So you think that, you really think, you're saying so psychologically you need to prepare yourself. You need a warm-up and a cool-down. That's what you're saying. You need a warm-up and a cool-down. And it's a din, not just in Yom Kippur, it's a din in Yom Tov in general, Shabbos in general, meaning you need to prepare to transition from a regular, profane, mundane day into something bigger. So that really would indicate that it isn't really Yom Tov or Shabbos or Yom Kippur bleeding beyond its borders. It's really in order to get you in the mode, right? In order to get you in the mode, right? I think that's great. I mean, that's a very affirmative way of saying we're human and we can't necessarily flip from one to the other, right? Another possibility is just to say that, no, Shabbos, Yom Tov, Yom Kippur, the din of Yontif should somehow pervade. It's not a transitional issue. It's not because I can't move from one to the next, the way that Hashem could in Sheshet Yimei Bereishit. I can't do that. It's because Shabbos, Yom Tov, Yom Kippur, we should want them to pervade a little bit outwards. We shouldn't want them to just be contained within their moment. And that means any day that's holy, and you know what? Shemitah too. There's a machloket among the Rishonim. Can you learn Shemitah from Yom Kippur? Can you learn Tosefet Shemitah from Yom Kippur, even though you have a pasuk? Meaning, maybe it's just a din of Kedusha. You know, not just a difficult transition, but wanting to extend. Kind of like a Shemini Atzeret type deal, you know, stay one more day. So stay one more minute, start a minute early, we're very excited, that type of thing, yes. Well, it might not be voluntary because if you want the concept to come across that Am Yisrael wants a certain thing or that Hashem wants a certain thing, you have to legislate it. Same way Shemini Atzeret isn't so voluntary. Unless you're in secular college and your teachers want you to take tests. Yeah. I'm just kidding. I'm really just kidding. What? How does what work with Inui? Okay. So I think that's great. Wanting it to extend before and wanting it to extend afterwards, I think personally that it's most important to look not at the Rambam in order to understand, but to look at the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says all of the halachot of Yom Kippur are going to apply early. So it's almost, the Inui is certainly a part of the Kedusha of Yom Kippur, if not the essence of the Kedusha of Yom Kippur. But that same Kedusha is manifest just through Isser Melacha and Chiyuv Shvita and Chiyuv Terest on Yom Tov and Shabbos. But you really could just say that Inui is just a part of the Kedusha of Yom Kippur. It's what gives it its tshuva element. It's what gives it its kapara element. It's what allows you to be like a malach. That's not a negative, right? Meaning not like I need to, you know, stop drinking a few minutes early, otherwise I'm not going to be able to wean myself off of my Starbucks. But it's a much more positive view of fasting. Fasting is making us like Malachim. We want to start that early. Or just Yom Tov in general. Yom Tov starts early. This is a Yom Tov, and this is one of the dinim of the Yom Tov. Oh, but inoy halachically means to start fasting early. Right. Well, that's a question as to what exactly, when people talk about simcha of Yom Kippur, what's the simcha? Is there simcha of Yom Kippur or not? Meaning, given that you have a sense of inoy, right? That's an amazing point, and it's a different shir. But definitely, there's stuff to see. Yes. You don't jump. Right. The steps or the ramp. I think that's great. That's your warm-up cool-down, and you can look at that either as I need time to transition, or we want a little bit of a connection between the chol and the kodesh, a little bit more. We want a ramp. We want steps, not just practically so that I can get up, but also because we don't want the bima to seem like it's so removed from us. Right? So there are even two ways to look at that, mashal. But I like it. I want to focus on the Rambam for the last few minutes. The Rambam has a fascinating view. The Rambam takes Tosefet Yom Kippur ostensibly. Certainly people try to fit in other things to the Rambam. But ostensibly as refraining from fasting, from wearing shoes, from all of the other accoutrements on Erev Yom Kippur and refraining a little bit after Yom Kippur's over. And he does not talk about malacha in any obvious way. And he does not talk about Tosefet Yom Tov or Tosefet Shabbos. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, it tells you about Tosefet Shabbos. Reish Samach Aleph Bet. Reish Samach Aleph Si'if Bet. It'll tell you about Tosefet Shabbos. The Rambam won't tell you about Tosefet Shabbos. He's looking at a din in Yom Kippur. A din in fasting. Now, certainly, you could say to me, the reason why he's focused on fasting only is because fasting is really the Ikar Kedusha of Yom Kippur. And Malacha is just like a side thing, just to make it look like other Yamim Tovim. Or Malacha is just a way to let a person focus and concentrate because they don't have other things to do. You can certainly look at it that way. But I want to take the approach that that Rav Soloveitchik seemed to put forth, or at least his students in his name, in Harare Kedem. They said the following. Interesting that the Rambam brings down this halacha about Tosefet Yom Kippur right next to the halacha about the inoy of the nighttime being equivalent to the daytime and vice versa. Why did he do that? The inoy of the nighttime and the daytime of Yom Kippur, they're pretty obvious. They're right in the pasuk. Every Yom Tov, every Shabbos, the night and the day are equivalent. What's the chiddush that the Rambam starts off, halacha vav, telling me the nighttime inoy is the same as the daytime inoy. The nighttime halacha is the same as the daytime halacha. And then he says, and you have to do tosefet inoy. Why do you juxtapose those two? So what the Rav wanted to say, at least according to his students, what the Rav wanted to say is that he said, you know what? This is very different. It isn't a din in Yom Tov. It isn't saying that Yom Tov is bleeding out and in, and Shabbos is bleeding out and in. It isn't a din in Yom Tov. But it is very essential. It's both an enhancement of the ninth and a part of Yom Kippur itself. In what sense? It's very weird that the Torah tells you that you have to fast on the ninth, if it really means the tenth. It's very weird that the Torah tells you me'erev ad erev if the ad erev means until a little bit after Yom Kippur is over. It's almost legislated. And you know what? The fact that the Torah gives me those directives might make me think that the ninth is like its own halacha, meaning from dawn until midnight would be its own set of halachot, the 24-hour day of the ninth, not even dawn, from midnight to midnight. And the 10th, from midnight to midnight, might be its own halacha. Why would I think that? I would think that because the Torah is talking about Tish'ah, and the Torah is talking about Me Erev Ad Erev. So therefore, what the Rambam says to you, excuse me, is the Rambam says that the nighttime is equivalent to the day. Those have the seriousness of Yom Kippur, the Be'etzem Ayom Hazeh. Both the nighttime and the daytime have that same Isser Karet. Don't think that the ninth is any different from the tenth just because the Psukim mentioned both. However, you have to do something with the mention of the ninth and the mention of Me'erev Ad Erev. So what does the Rambam say? Right next to where he says the actual 24-hour period of Yom Kippur, 25-hour period of Yom Kippur is uniform. Right after that, he says, but there's also another, there's a vestige of Yom Kippur at either end that the Torah tells you to make. Not just, I want a ramp up to the Bima, a ramp down from the Bima, or steps up to the Bima, but the Torah tells me Yom Kippur starts in light form on Erev Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur continues in light form on Motzei Yom Kippur. And this is not a din in Malacha. This is not a din in Yom Tov. This is not a din in Shabbos. This is not a din in Shemitah. This is a din in the fasting of Yom Kippur. Now the question is, why? Why should Yom Kippur have this din? So I would like to bring up two things in trying to answer this question. The first is the minhag to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. We've heard about it. The minhag to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. The people who don't learn Tosefet Yom Kippur from this pasuk of Ve'initem use the pasuk to teach you eat on day 9. It's like you're fasting on day 10. They use the same pasuk. They say it doesn't mean add fasting. It means add eating on day 9 to contrast it or to supplement, to somehow connect to day 10. So what we're looking at here is the Rambam is rejecting that. But it is impossible to say that day 9 doesn't have some sort of element of Yom Kippur to it. So other people say it has the element of Yom Kippur. Either you eat on the 9th to make sure that you have a simcha, that you're excited that you're going to get kapara. Or you eat on the 9th because it's instead of having a sudat Yom Tov on the 10th. Or you eat on the 9th in order to show the contrast between Simcha and Inoy. But the 9th has tremendous significance. On day 9 in the morning, we don't say Tachanun, right? Day 9 has an Ofi. Day 9 has a character of some sort. It isn't just Erev Yom Kippur. It's something in and of itself. And the Rambam saying, what is that something? He doesn't need to talk about Tachanun. He isn't talking about eating. That's something to him. Is the 9th is a transitional day, not a contrast, not taking Seudat Yom Tov from Yom Kippur and putting it the day before, but it is the beginning of Yom Kippur. It's a legislated transition from Erev Yom Kippur to Yom Kippur itself. And I think that that really explains why he only says that it's about fasting. The fasting element of Yom Kippur is what distinguishes it from other days that are Yemei Kedusha. It is what distinguishes it. On Shabbos, we have Vekarata L'Shabbos Oneg. You have to eat. On Yom Tov, you have Heter Ochal Nefesh. You're allowed to do certain malachot in order to prepare food. On Yom Kippur, why do we fast? Fasting is the essence of the day. We fast to be like Malachim. We also fast because it's part of tshuva. It's penitential. Whether you say it's, you know, I'm being mima'et my basar, I'm minimalizing my physique so that I'm giving it as though on a korban, all those extra calories are like a korban. Or you just say it's removing oneself from the physical world. Throughout the tshuva period, starting with Rosh Chodesh Elul, and moving on to Slichot, and moving on to Rosh Hashanah, and moving on even to Tzom Gedalia, and moving on to the Slichot that we say during Asarit Yemei Teshuvah, what an anticlimax it would be if we just went straight from eating, 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 straight into Yom Kippur as soon as Bein HaShmashot was happening. What an anticlimax. If the whole point is tshuva, is removing ourselves from the material, is removing ourselves from wanton sin that has to do with the physical world, what an anticlimax it would be to minimalize Yom Kippur and not to put steps leading up and a ramp coming down. Having nothing to do with Yom Tov, having nothing to do with Shabbos, having nothing to do with Shemitah, having everything to do with realizing and the Torah mandating that we have a transition in and out of the Yom Kippur period, both to end off the tshuva season in a healthy way, in a gradational, something that goes in levels, in layers, in transitions, but also to recognize that it isn't just a day of fasting. It isn't just a day of not wearing shoes. It isn't just a day of not having malacha. It's a day that's supposed to be the culmination of a longer process. And what better way to symbolize that than by saying only on Yom Kippur, no other time. This isn't a generic and isn't like Shmini Atzeret. Only on Yom Kippur do we say you must walk in there having already started to fast, having already started to feel Yom Kippur. And you must walk out of Yom Kippur in a transitional way and don't run away, because otherwise you won't be able to translate it into normal life. You won't be able to translate it into the chagim that are coming up later. I think that by focusing on Tosefet Yom Kippur, we've certainly learned a lot about other Tosafot as well. Because if this is what Tosefet Yom Kippur is about, makes me think, okay, so then why do I light Shabbos candles 18 minutes early? What's that about? Why is there a concept of Tosefet Yom Tov? What's that about? What's Tosefet Shemitah? Certainly all things to think about. But I think what's beautiful about this, the Rambam, is that what he's saying is that it isn't an issue of is it part of Yom Kippur that bleeds outwards versus is it the day of the ninth that's enhanced somehow by extra Kedusha? It's neither of those and it's both of those. It isn't about whether a katan who got older is going to have to fast or not. It's about a process. There's no such thing as experiencing the Tosefet without the Ikar and the Ikar without the Tosefet. The whole point is that Tshuva itself is transitional and Kapara even is transitional, and the after effects of it should be transitional as well. And with that in mind, I wish everyone a Gemara Chatima Tova. Thank you for coming.